Can't believe it, I'm on your podcast. This is amazing.
Eat my shorts. Welcome back to the Wild Business Growth Podcast. This is your place to hear from a new entrepreneur every single Wednesday morning who's turning wild ideas into wild growth. I'm your host, Max Brandstetter, founder of The Simpsons. No, I'm just kidding. Founder and podcast producer at Max Podcasting. And you can email me at max@maxpodcasting.com to save time with your high-quality podcast. This is episode 180. And today's guest is the world-famous Nancy Cartwright. Nancy is an Emmy and Annie Award-winning voice actor, actress, producer, writer, philanthropist, author. I guess that kind of goes with writer, but she is, of course, most well-known for being the voice of Bart Simpson. Yes, that Bart Simpson, from the longest-running scripted television show in history. In addition to being the voice of Bart, Nancy is the voice of six other characters on The Simpsons, including Ralph Wiggum, Nelson, Maggie, little Maggie, and others. And across other TV shows, she is the voice of Chucky Finster from Rugrats, the naked mole rat Rufus from Kim Possible, and has appeared on Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, Richie Rich, the list goes on and on and on. And in this episode, we talked how exactly one becomes a voice actor, becomes the voice of Bart Simpson, creates an international sensation, and a peek behind the scenes of that little show called The Simpsons. It is Nancy Blank Right, as you'll find out soon. Enjoy the show. Alrighty, we are here with Nancy Cartwright, aka Nancy Bartwright. I think that from now on, that's that's how you need to be called by. But Nancy, obviously, one of the most incredible, entertaining, hilarious, and just heartwarming people you'll come across. But Nancy Cartwright, who the hell are you?
I just want to make one slight correction. I want to get this straight. It's Nancy Fartwright.
There we go. I can't believe I dropped the ball on that. But Fartwright, Bartwright, Cartwright. Nancy, the voice of Bart Simpson. This is a dream talking to you. One of my fondest memories growing up is we were pretty little, and then as we got into like middle school age, especially the Sunday night routine with my brother and I was we would each shower or take a bath when we were younger. Afterwards, my dad would for some reason give us comb our hair over, and then we would sit there and watch The Simpsons. So you are part of our weekly Sunday routine. So endlessly thankful for you and what the team does there.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you know what? It's so funny because we had, when I was a kid too, Sunday night was, you know, the night before you go back to school again on Monday. And it's, yeah, get pajamas. If we went Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, we went camping for the weekend. You come home, you haven't had a bath since Thursday night, kind of fresh. Everybody cleans up. And it was, for us, it was the World of Disney was the show. And then eventually it changed to, gosh, I think All in the Family might have been on Sunday nights at one time, and there was a regular lineup, and we were all in our jammies, and I'm one of six kids, so that was quite a den full of little Cartwright kids, you know. But it's nice to have a stable thing that you a pattern that you follow that kind of puts the family order in at the beginning of the week. So glad I could do that for you.
It was, of course, and growing up with five other siblings, that had to be absolutely nuts. I imagine it was nuts at school as well. And obviously when people think of Bart, they think of a troublemaker in terms of school and detention, writing stuff on the chalkboard. When you think back to your childhood, is there a story that was the most Bart story of your childhood?
This is not in my book, by the way. This is not in my audiobook. So this is a really special thing for you, Max. This is like, okay, so I was about 13 or 14 years old. I had a crush on a guy who was in the band. And I played the French, at the time I was playing the French horn. I used to play the trumpet, but I switched over to French horn because for some reason I just felt like I was third horn, couldn't afford private lessons. I was an average player, I was okay. But I thought the French horn, I could be third chair, French horn, because there were only three chairs. So I switched over to, and French horn's a little sexier than a trumpet. So I switched over to the French horn. Okay, 14 years old. Anyway, I had this crush on the guy, but he liked the other French horn player who was also a little bit better than me. So I did something nasty and I went into the bathroom, the girls' bathroom, and I wrote in brown magic marker on the bathroom stall, and I'm going to make up a name. Tom Barkley, I can say the F word. Tom Barkley, yeah, does that.
You could say it fully if you want.
Oh, God, it was so bad. Tom Barkley fucks Karen Sullivan. And that's all I did. Right there in brown, bam, that's what Tom is doing to Karen. The F word, you know? And I walked away, and I didn't think anybody saw me, and I walked out of there. By the end of the day, a call came in my English class, Nancy Cartwright, please report to the principal's office. And there was a low rumble in the class. I didn't know what they were. I totally forgot about it. I go in to the president's, I'm sitting there in the principal's office. The vice principal comes out and says, Nancy, come on into my office. And I go in and I'm like, I'm just curious. He goes, I understand that you're pretty artistic. Now that I've never been told that before because I never did any art classes. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you. I didn't know what to say. He goes, yeah, I heard you're pretty artistic and you like especially drawing with magic markers.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, nope. My heart went into my lower intestine. I'm like, he says, yeah. So how long have you been writing graffiti like that? I'm like, oh, man. It's the first time they called my mom. My mom had to come get me. And more embarrassing than sitting in the principal's office and getting suspended was the fact that my mom now knows that I know how to say fuck. And that's the thing that was really upsetting.
and now everyone listening to this show knows that you know how to say that word as well. So this is just upsetting compounded over, but no, I appreciate it. That now we know that you like, because there was stuff like that, not specifically like that, but you know, there's some graffiti like that in pretty much every high school restroom, I imagine. And now we know you are responsible for all of it. So this is super helpful. Let's get to your famous voice and voice acting, and of course the Bart voice, among many other voices. But you are a super talented person, or a super talented kid. When did you know for sure that you were going to be a voice actor?
Oh, that wasn't until I was 16. But I knew at age, when I was 7, I knew that I could do sound effects. And I would make people laugh, and I like that. I really like making them laugh. And then I was 10,
you like making people laugh. Well, what a terrible trait! I mean, that's God. I bet people can't stand you.
I did jokes and stuff like that, and did riddles and things, and I would get joke books and memorize them. And you know, when you find something that people enjoy, you tend to want to do more of that. So by the time I was 10, I found out about a competition in my school. And it was just a prose or poetry reading. And I entered the competition and I did something. And this is in the audiobook. I'm still a 10-year-old boy, but it's like I go into more detail in it. And I guess if you want to hear about it, you got to get the book. No.
You're an incredible salesperson, too.
I won the competition. You know, one girl like threw up, another one couldn't remember her lines, and I made everybody laugh. It wasn't even funny. And so then I pursued it. But when I was 16, that's when I was on the speech team, and I was getting blue ribbons and occasionally a red ribbon, but mostly blue ribbons and big trophies, Max. And it was like, wow, My brothers were doing Little League, and they were doing what's that? The race, the boxcar racing. What's that called?
Oh, yeah. Not Pinewood Derby, but some Soapbox Derby.
Soapbox. Yeah, my brother did a soapbox derby thing, and it's like he did pretty well with that. And I'm bringing home first place in humorous interpretation of literature, but the trophy was like massive, dude. And it's like I got pretty used to winning. It was kind of amazing. That story, that's another one that I actually do talk about, and it's kind of bittersweet. I learned a real lesson from that, winning a lot and what that can do to a person. So you have to find out about that, Max.
This is I've never been more compelled for an audiobook. You're just pushing all the buttons. You're seeing talent at an early age. Fast forwarding just a bit, somewhere along the way, you hear about the Tracy Ullman show, which for any Curb fans, shout out Irma Kostrowski. But you hear about The Simpsons, which was originally part of the Tracy Ullman show. How did you hear about this, and what kind of opened the door for you to even audition for a role in the first place?
Well, this was in 1987, and I had already been working on, gosh, a lot of shows, like six or eight syndicated. This is like Saturday morning fare, the type of stuff that aired when I was a kid. It was My Little Pony, Glow Friends, Snorks, Pound Puppies, Galaxy High, things like that. We were still doing and doing also singing sessions. So this, I mention that because singing sessions are different from the recording sessions. That means double the paycheck. So if you can land one of the musical ones, that's My Little Pony and Glow Friends, we were singing, and that was so much fun.
I
That
would
was
enjoy My
so
Little
fun.
Pun as well. You started saying My Little Pun.
Oh, My Little Pony.
Yeah.
I was Surf Rider, and I did like seven or eight ponies. Surf Rider, Baby Pony, Dusty Pony, I forget, Honeysuckle. Anyway, it was super fun. And then my agent actually told me about this audition, and she said she did mention the Tracy Ullman show. She goes, "But just go in. They want you to read for this 8-year-old girl." And I said, "Well, like, the way you're saying it, I mean, like, what is it?" She says, "It's just this little, 1 minute clips that they do, 30 seconds before the commercials, and then going back into the show, they show the rest of it." So it's not even a show. No, I mean, it's kind of just like a vignette. It's called interstitials. I'm like, okay, all right, fine. So I get in my car, drive over the hill. There's the audition for Lisa, because 8 years old, middle child, and I read the description, and I'm like, okay. But right next to her is a picture of Bart, 10-year-old, school-hating underachiever, and proud of it. I'm like, woo, boom. That is between Lisa and Bart at that time. Bart re really indicated to me. So I went in and Matt Gray, well, who wouldn't want to play a 10-year-old underachiever and proud of it? I mean, it's clear the guy's ornery. So I go in and I said, "Hey, Matt, hi. Yeah, I was down for Lisa, but I kind of like the kid. I want to do the kid. Is that okay? Is that all right with you? You mind if I do the kid?" "Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. That's him. That's Bart. You're hired. Swear to you, hired me on the spot. Mike Myers, Jim Carrey, out the door. Boom. Nancy Cartwright, woo-hoo."
Oh my God. Wait, both of those guys auditioned for the role?
No.
Oh. Oh my God. I don't, this is like a chicken or the egg thing. Who came first, the Nancy or the Bart, as far as the pranks and jokes here? No, that's amazing though. And then even your blah 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 on the Bart voice is like music to the ears. But so you go in, so something about this Bart character description, it was like love at first sight. You got the job on the site. What was your first day as Bart Simpson like?
Wait, do you mean like the half hour, or do you mean like for Tracy Ullman?
It could be either. Which of those is a more fond memory of you of being like when you felt truly Bart recording for the first time?
That probably was 48 of the little clips, that 48 of the little vignettes in. After we did Tracy Ullman and they went to the half hour, now we're doing the half hour. And we all met on, I think, Soundstage 17, and it's like we met there and everybody was there, and I'm just like looking around, and I go into a lot of detail in this in the book, actually, but in the audio book, but to give you a little sample, it's like there was a excitement in the air. It was kind of held down by everybody. Nobody was super ecstatic. Nobody really knew what to expect because we're kind of doing something untried. It hadn't been done on primetime. Animation hadn't been done on primetime television for decades. You know, it'd been quite a while. And who knew how the public was going to take to the half hour, except we got so much fan mail when we were on the Tracy Ullman show. And that was sort of a hint that the public really liked it. And that's a good indicator for anybody paying attention. It's like, you listen to what the public is asking for. What do they want? What is needed? So we sort of filled a void there. But still looking around, and I knew Dan and Julie were cast because they were actually on the Tracy Ullman show. They were actors, and Jim asked them if they would step up. Will you be Homer and will you be Marge? And it's like, absolutely. Yeah, no problem. So, and then they had to cast for Lisa and Bart. And so I had met with the casting director about a year before, and she remembered that I had done voiceover work. And that's the reason why she called me back. I kept thinking I was going to be the next Holly Hunter or, you know, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, or like doing these dramatic pieces, and wanted to talk about like possibly getting into doing feature films. But she kept pulling me back to animation. It was really interesting for her, and she remembered me. And so that's why I went in for that. And here I end up getting cast. And so looking around, I'm realizing that these guys, none of them were voiceover actors. They were all on camera, either film or television, and I was really the only one. And another lesson that I learned that I talk about extensively in the book is trust your instincts. And I wanted to say, because when we started recording the show, it's like nobody knew what they were doing, Max. It's like, seriously, they put like moving carpets up on the wall. We weren't even in a studio. They put us on the Tracy Ullman soundstage up in the booth where the producers sit and like are giving the camera shots. They're looking at the screens to do all the, you know, the direction, the engineering for all the camera operators. And it's like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? And I kept my big mouth shut, and I'm so glad I did, because it's like, as a group, you got to find your own way, you know? And if I would have spoken out, Art might have been too much for them to handle with me. They didn't find out about that until years later, what a problem I am.
It all goes back to that graffiti in the bathroom. So once it officially became like the separate 30-minute show, which now has been going for what I think at the time of this recording, it's over 700 episodes.
Yeah.
Bravo, by the way. That, you know, people talk about it's a marathon, not a sprint. You and team have done the equivalent of like 70,000 marathons day after day. So just absolutely carrying the torch in the TV and entertainment world. But when did it start to feel like, one, Simpsons as its own show was really starting to pick up with watchers, with viewers? And then the other part of that was, when did it start to feel like, wow, people really like this Bart character for some reason?
Yeah, well, I was told about the time that they were transitioning into the half hour show, I was told that they were going to make Bart the star, make him the star of the show. And I mean, that sat with me pretty well. I kind of like that idea. I was totally fine by me. It actually doesn't matter. I do seven voices on the show. I was only hired to do Bart. But as the script started to unroll, there were blank spaces, and I was cast on the spot to read for like Nelson, to read for Ralph Wiggum. No audition, no like, I've got, here's a voice, now here's a, if you don't like that sound, here's another sound for like an 8-year-old or for a 10-year-old. No, it's like, just give us and I was never replaced. I ended up doing and giving them my top seven voices, which was totally fine. I know I'm not answering your question, but when did I know? I
Please.
Think it was no extra charge, Max.
How dare you?
Personally, it was the first episode of the second season, which Bart gets an F. And I think that one, because I believe that was the show that first showed how Bart is not just this recalcitrant troublemaker.
That's a hell of a word, by the way. I don't think I've ever heard that word, recalcitrant. I like it. I'm adding it to my vocab.
It's a good word. Way to read the etymology. There's another good word.
Oh my God.
they always have a party at the very first show of the new season. And that party that year was on the Fox lot. And they had Krusty burgers and they had, you know, squishies, and it's like they serve, like, it was kind of cheesy in a way, but I thought it was kind of fun. It was picnic food. And I think there were games and stuff that we could do, and we all got prizes and gifts and stuff, and that was great. But they showed the screening of it, and man, I just wasn't expecting this at all. A lot of attention at the end of the show, because there's this, just the scene, you know, he breaks down in front of Mrs. Krabappel and begs her to understand, you know, I don't understand. It's like, I studied, I learned, you know, when, like, this guy, I know how Washington felt crossing the Delaware in 1776. It's like, wait a second, Bart, what do you mean? Well, it's like, you know, when he had that, blah, blah, and he goes on. And whoa, Bart, well, that gives you a little bit of a little extra point there. We're gonna, and he, I passed. I got a D minus. I passed. He actually cries. He really breaks down, and you hear it for the first time. And dude, I don't hold back. When we recorded that thing, I don't hold back. And I just put it all there and left it up to the editors, you know, however they were going to edit. We do 4 takes or 5 takes or whatever, and whatever they want to pick, it's up to them. But I felt like, wow, this show is going to, it's going to make some waves. And we had already done that, by the way. We had already, it was a problem. A lot of people had trouble with it. They don't want their kids watching the show. Which, by the way, was never written for kids. It still is meant to be for adults, but because it's animation, it's a little tricky, and they're cute characters, but the stories are really, it's not like Rugrats, in other words, where it's for kids, but it's for parents to watch with the kids, and you get a lesson. It's not like that.
Not like you know anything about Rugrats either. I mean, have you even heard of that show? No. But it's truly created a massive sensation. And yeah, we couldn't resist it as kids. Still can't resist. I know so many can't resist it as adults. But for you, it's amazing how, like, if you listen to your voice, you might be able to, some people might be able to hear, okay, maybe that person could be Bart, but you probably wouldn't guess it right away. But then when you do the Bart voice, obviously it's like oh my God, it's like it takes on a whole separate world with your voice there. What's involved on your end of like getting into the mind of Bart?
Oh, that's not a problem at all. Bart's the easiest for me. He's the easiest one. Like just talking to you, Max, I could very easily just slip into Bart's voice and there you go, man. Dude, Max, I can't believe it, I'm on your podcast. Dude, this is amazing. Whoa, mama. It's like, he is easy. I had to get into Nelson. Well, I could get into him too, but I don't know how long I could sustain this. Do you know what I mean? Ha ha! So, there you go. That's a little bit of a Simpsons sampler by Nancy Cartwright.
We don't want to leave out this little fella. Max, hey, just curious, is your name really Maxtone? Or is it Maxfield? Or Maxograph? Like, what's your real name?
Oh my God. I'm being bombarded by Simpsons. Being bombarded by Simpsons characters, and the truth of my many full names comes out. But so it's natural for some characters, some it's not. By the way, the Nelson haha, we'll call it, is one of my favorite little sound bites of all time. So it's truly fantastic.
I was in a bank once and trying to remember, because this was in 80, we were doing the show, and I remember walking out of a bank, and in order to do that, you went into, like, you open up a door and there was a vestibule, the door shut behind you, and then a security opened up the other door to get you out. So I did that, and as I was going out, I hear behind me, ha ha, I couldn't believe it, somebody did it to me.
You're getting bullied by your own bullies. To put into context just how big and iconic Simpsons and Bart have gotten over the years, can you share the story of the time Meryl Streep asked for your autograph?
Yeah, that was really special. She ended up playing the voice of Jessica Lovejoy, who is Reverend Lovejoy's daughter who's been at boarding school. That's why he never met her before. He's never talked about her before either, by the way. That was cool. Now all of a sudden he's got this daughter who's like 14 years old. But you can do that with animation. You know, you can just create whatever. Anyway, so a lot of celebrities, which we've had about, 800 at this point in time, 800 celebrities on the show, which is redunk. You got to be kidding me. So I was told she was going to be on it. She was cast as this part. We were all hoping she would come to the record, but their schedules are such that it's worked out with the producers and their people work with our people and they work out the schedule. And most of the time, these guys can't come when we're there because it's a very strict schedule. We used to record on Mondays from 10 until whenever, but couldn't make that happen. So they did a private record with her. And the scenes that she had were with me, just with Bart. So they asked me, would you mind, we've already recorded this with you, but will you go back again and meet with Meryl and do a private thing? I'm like, oh, don't have to twist my arm on that one. Heck yeah, I'd love that. So I met her at the recording facility and she comes in and she had like no makeup on and a simple like line dress and espadrille sandals and just clean and just fresh and gorgeous. And she came in and introductions were made and we go into the studio and this is the writer and this is the director and this is the casting director and this is Nancy Cartwright. She's the voice of Bart. And she goes, oh, hi. It was so cute. It was awesome. And here I am thinking, I want to get her autograph, but I don't want to be a fangirl. I don't want to be, you know, I don't really go that way. But with Meryl, it was a little different because I had admired her work ethic and her body of work up until that point in time and still remains to this day. She's just so extraordinary. And I'm just thinking, what is she going to do with Jessica Lovejoy? How is she going to play this part? So we stand there and anyway, we do this whole thing. It's a pretty long story, Max, but I will cut to the chase on this. We have an amazing recording session and I helped her on a few things that she didn't know. That was all well and good and everything. But deep in my mind, I'm still thinking I'd love to get, you know, her autograph. How do I do this? So we were done. Next thing I know, we're signing contracts and we're on our way out the door. And I reach for the handle. I'm thinking to myself, do it now, do it now. Ask for autograph. As I'm reaching for the door, leaving, I'm saying stop, but I'm not stopping. But next thing I feel a tap on my right shoulder and I turn and it's Meryl. And she says to me, she says, you know, my kids, they don't watch my movies because they're not old enough. They won't understand my movies right now, but they're huge fans of The Simpsons. And I just wanted to say, could I have your autograph?
Oh my God.
Isn't that awesome?
Talk about a pinch me moment. Yeah, that's,
oh my God.
Can't even imagine. So iconic. Just Bart, Nancy, and Meryl hanging out, three peas in a pod. Yeah. And the children. That's tremendous. Well, yeah. Nancy, Bart, thank you so much. I mean, you are one of the most iconic and famous, maybe infamous from your troublemaking, but people that ever gotten the opportunity to speak to. So thank you so much. To wrap things up, final thoughts for Bart. Are there any words of wisdom that Bart would like to leave to the listeners as we wrap up here?
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. Can't prove anything. Boom!
The Bart Man. Thank you so much, Nancy, Bart, and friends, for coming on the podcast, sharing your amazing stories, showing off that voice that is pretty much the coolest voice in the world. Scratch that, pretty much. It's the coolest voice in the world. And thank you, wild listeners, for tuning in to another episode. If you want to learn more about Nancy and even read or listen to the amazing things that she's put out there, you can check out her audiobook, I'm Still a 10-Year-Old Boy. It's on Amazon/Audible. She has her paperback book, My Life as a 10-Year-Old Boy. She also wrote and produced the acclaimed feature film, In Search of Fellini. And you can find everything else there is to know about Nancy at nancycartwright.com. Of course, links to social media accounts there as well. Her YouTube, by the way, has incredibly entertaining and humorous videos there. So get to check it out. There goes an entire few years for you. If you want to hear more wild stories like this one, make sure to follow the Wild Business Growth Podcast on your favorite podcast app and tell a friend about it. Maybe they like The Simpsons. Maybe they probably like The Simpsons. You can also find us on Good Pods. And for any help with podcast production, you can learn more at maxpodcasting.com. Until next time, let your business run wild.
Bring on the bongos!